Have you ever been frustrated trying to build a business that you love, connect deeper with your family, and take care of your physical and mental health, but it just seems like you never have time? In my search for those answers, I found out that there are three very specific things that family-driven entrepreneurs do in order to excel in it all. If you're someone who's interested in learning these three things, we have a free upcoming training that you can register for so we can share these three things to help you succeed faster. Check out the show notes or go to modernleadership.us/workshop. This is a limited time workshop, which will be recorded just in case you can't make it live. Thank you for being willing to lean in and continue to grow. And above all, keep leading from the front, leader. Hey guys, today we wanted to share an exclusive behind the scene training that I did for our inner circle. From time to time, I want to give you guys an opportunity to see some of the things that we do inside, especially the workshops that make the biggest impact for our members. Today is one of those shows. If you enjoy it, definitely check out our inner circle. But regardless, we appreciate you for listening. Thank you for leaning in, and let's get right into today's episode.
So have you ever been held back because of what other people might think about you? Have you ever had those moments where they verbalize what they think of you? And those things kind of feel like you're being stabbed in the back and you're like, I don't know how to move forward. Regardless of which one, which area this tends to come up with more for you, whether it's in your business, anywhere, it could even be with your family. It could be people that you care about, people that you don't care about, trolls. Like, there is a solution and a way of actually solving this problem in advance. And basically, when I started to be able to solve the problem of not worrying about what other people think or really worrying about what the right people think, it transformed the messages that I was getting, the conversations that I was having, not because I just didn't care, right? I mean, there's a lot of like quotes and stuff around this about like, what is that one? If you wouldn't accept their advice, don't accept their criticism, right? But in the moment, it's very hard to like go back to that quote and go, oh, I know exactly how to think about this, right? And that's why we're going to help teach you today how to actually solve these problems in advance so that when you have that moment where you're either starting to get worried about what other people are going to think or people are actually responding to you in a way where you're like, ah, maybe I'm doing something wrong, you're going to have already worked through it. You're going to have already processed it and know where to go to actually give yourself your power back. Because honestly, when we think about like making an impact in the world, we have to have, you know, be brave, be willing to go out there, to have conversations, not knowing what's going to happen in the end result, because that's what really powerful leaders do. And you guys are powerful leaders. You're here. You're part of the inner circle. So pumped to get started. And if you're ready to do this with us, let's go.
Welcome to the inner circle. We are proud to be on this mission with you. What mission is that? We believe that you don't have to sacrifice one area of your life to have massive success in business. We believe that what you achieve on the outside is a direct result of what you become on the inside. We believe that growing your business should never come at the expense of nurturing your family. We believe taking personal responsibility is the key to changing the outside circumstances. And we believe that your physical and mental health is the most important element to sustain your success. Thank you for being here and for being willing to lean in and be the modern leader the world needs now more than ever. You ready to do this? Let's go.
Let's go. Like always, Kurt, make it look like we know what we're doing. Hey guys, what is up, my inner circle? I'm super pumped to be here on the call with you. I know some of you guys were on a call earlier with us. I got my sister here. What's going on, sister? I got Shelly, Steve, Trisha, Susie, Julie, Tina. Tina totally crushed her webinar today. I know she did. She had a webinar today. Amber's here. What's going on? And yes, let's go. Let's go, guys. Okay. So we have a really powerful training for you guys here today that we want to actually get some feedback from you guys, because there's a difference between us solving a problem like for ourselves or for people that we have helped in the past versus like what you're specifically going through. One of the things we love to do on the inner circle is being able to take some of the things that we teach, not only in our life coach certification, but on social media and YouTube, and personalizing it for something that maybe you have gone through recently or something that you're personally struggling with. So as we go, we definitely want to hear the feedback from you. Now, before we dive into today's topic, which is caring what other people think about you, whether it's your family, people you love, people you don't love, like we all said before, we want to give you a framework. But before we do that, we want to let you know of something we're doing special on April 6th. And this is only for inner circle members. So basically what it is I'm going to be joining your sales team for a day. Now hear me out when I say this. I have been approached by a lot of companies, of businesses, of people who want to be able to sell their items more and quicker and faster and do so in a way that's ethical and not like convincing people, but really helping them to see that this is the thing that's going to bridge the gap for them. That being said, they've wanted to hire me to be on their sales team, to actually lead their sales team, to teach, to train, to motivate, to get people to understand how to use the power of coaching and asking questions to sell people on their thing. Now, I know some of you guys actually don't even have a business, but you sell things every single day. You sell your kids to eat certain foods. You sell things, ideas in other people, potential in other people. Like, we are always constantly selling. So one of the things that I'm going to do is on April 6th, I've put together a program. As a matter of fact, it was actually going to be one that I was building up, that I was going to charge for. And while going through that process of building this program of like, what are the scripts that people need? How do they need to ask questions on the call? How do they set up the call that they're having so that they can actually make a sale on it? How to do things in the front end, on the back end, like so many different things. The affirmations before you get on a call to fire yourself up, to make sure that you're in the right energy. There were so many things. I'm like, this is going to crush. And it was probably going to be a $2,000 program. And when I started having conversations with a lot of you guys in the inner circle, people on YouTube, people inside of my life coach certification, I'm like, everybody is really struggling with this. Like, and it's because they're looking at it entirely wrong. And when I got to that point, I was like, I can't just help a few people with this. I need to help as many humans as possible. So what I've decided to do is I'm putting together a Zoom, and I have the link for you guys here. It's a very specific call just for the inner circle. So if you're part of the inner circle, go to this link, modernleadership.us/sales. It's going to be on Zoom. It's not going to be on YouTube, because I want to be able to help personalize this for you. And it's actually going to be like I'm on your sales team for a day. If you and I were to sit down for an entire day and I were to have a conversation and help you design scripts and come up with the whole process from the beginning to the end, give you my blueprint, this is what it's going to be like. Now, I would expect it's going to be about probably an hour and a half, 2 hour call. And yes, there will be a replay, but if you can make it live, it's going to be really powerful, because I'm going to help guide some of you guys who are here on the call then to be able to go through that process, right? Because there's one thing that I've seen, and that is like people are struggling with making sales, transferring money for value that they're actually bringing in their program. And if I could jump into your program and help you to just bridge that gap, I know there's so many more people who would be helped by you, because you have awesome stuff that you need to give the world. So that's what we're doing, only for the inner circle. If you know somebody outside of the inner circle, by the way, and you know that this would be helpful for them, you can 100% invite them. They would just have to join the inner circle in order to get into that. But you can invite them, but please do not share the link with anybody outside of the inner circle. This is just very specific for you guys. So I'm super pumped up about that. Hope you guys are pumped up for that too, so that I can help guide you through that experience. But we're going to have a whole lot of things that I'm going to be able to share with you, including like some different documents and scripts and stuff that I'm going to share with you, so you have all the behind the scenes stuff that I do. Sound good, everybody? Okay. Now what we're going to do, me too, Trisha, me too. What we're going to do today, guys, is we're going to really tackle this idea of what other people think of us. All right. Now, this is one of those things where, and I'm going to ask you guys in a second, because I'm going to take a poll from you guys to see what you guys think. But there's usually two different avenues that this kind of starts to affect us, right? The first part is typically, what are other people going to think about me? And the truth is we really don't even, most of the time, we don't even know who those other people are. We just say, what are other people? And we don't even think about who those people are. And we use this like against us to not take the actions that we want to take, right? We convince ourselves like other people are going to think I'm salesy, I'm dumb, I don't know what I'm doing. Why are they going to buy from me? And this is the conversation that we kind of have in our brain. Now, I was listening to a podcast by one of my mentors, and she was talking about that about 75% of the time when we're struggling with like what other people think, it's not actually something that's ever happened or a conversation that's happening. It's literally we are thinking about what other people think, and they're also thinking about what you think about them. So there's a 75% of the time that you're struggling with it. It has nothing to do with what other people think. It's just a sentence that you're having in your brain that is kind of preventing you. Now, that is the first piece when it comes to like caring what other people think. But then there's a second part where people are literally saying things. People are saying things, their family, their haters on social media. There's people who come on who say, Mark, you have like such a long forehead. I couldn't even like listen to what you were saying here. And by the way, that was a true comment that somebody made. Like there's those things where somebody actually says something or actually does something. And those tend to give those a little bit more weight even than the what are people going to think, right? What we're going to talk about today is going to help solve both of those problems, right? We're going to tackle them both. We're going to tackle them a little bit differently, but they're both problems that you can solve in advance so that when they happen, you don't even have to bat an eye. It doesn't bother you. You just know that this is just a part of the deal, right? This is the part of changing people's lives, of being a leader, of being out there, because there's always going to be naysayers. There's always going to be people against you. A lot of times it's about themselves, right? But we want to give you some, empower you really, to give you some tips and some tools to be able to help guide you through that process, right? Now, I do want to start off, first off, by saying, hi, how are you doing? Oh my gosh.
So funny.
I feel like 20 minutes in and like, I'm like, hey guys, Teresa's here. What's up?
I'm just nodding.
Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm a woman of a few words.
No. No, not when these cameras go off. You're not.
No, I'm not.
Okay. So how you doing?
Good.
Okay. Good.
Is that I'm excited about this.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. Okay. So we want to talk to you guys first. We want to get some feedback. Back and forth. Sorry, Laura. Laura says, you're horrible, Mark. It's okay. First, we want to really like pull you guys to ask you a question, right? And this is one of the things we always like to think about beforehand. And what's funny is like most people in this space don't like asking this question. I love asking it because it kind of like brings forth the reasons why this situation is so hard, right? So guys, why do you think this whole thing about like caring what other people think, why do you think getting past that is so hard? And why do you think our brains throw that question at us? Like, what are people going to think if you post this? So what are some things that you think, or why do you believe that this is so hard to get past? And why do you think your brain is zeroing in on caring what other people think? I want to hear in the comments. So what comes up for you guys when you have this thought? Why does your brain throw it out there? And why is it so hard? Oh, Laura, okay. I was commenting on what someone said about you having a big fart. Yes, that was me. That was me. It's pretty awesome when somebody comes out and says something so beautiful like that to you. It's called testing resilience. Okay. Ego and self-sabotage. Yes. PTSD very much could be. So when it comes to the reason why our brain does this, what comes up for you guys? What comes up for you when your brain starts to go down these millions of different paths? I know we went like last weekend. Was it overthinking last weekend? Mm-hmm. Like we talked about overthinking. That was a powerful workshop, guys. If you did not see that workshop on overthinking, you need to watch that one. That one was really powerful. But this is a version of overthinking where we're focusing our attention on what other people are going to think. Why do you think our brain does that? Why do you guys think our brain does that? Come on. I know we have a lot of coaches who are here. Why does our brain do that? Laura says it makes me feel bad about myself. Okay, 100%. Why do you think it wants you to make you feel bad about yourself? Doubt inabilities. Trisha, why do you think it wants to doubt your abilities? Julie.
Yeah, right.
Protection. Dun, dun, dun. Spoken from the law enforcement professional, right? Yeah. She didn't use the word protection. Yeah. Safety. A past experience as a school age child. Could be, Tina. Could be. The reason why your brain wants to do this is because it wants to keep you safe. Like Julie said, if it can convince you that you don't have the skills, you don't have the abilities, you're not good enough. You can talk bad to yourself. Like if it makes you to feel a certain way that doesn't make you go out and post that thing, then you're going to be protected. I know it's like really caveman kind of, you know, thoughts when it comes to that, but that's really what it is. It's our caveman DNA is like, well, we got to be protected. We got to stay safe. And if we tell people our opinions, like they could be against our opinions. And if they're against our opinions, we might be thrown out of the tribe. Now, this is a protection mechanism that is built into our brain automatically, meaning you're not consciously thinking of it. You're just worried about what other people are going to say and whether or not you are good enough and whether or not you can deliver on that. And you're second guessing yourself. But the only reason why your brain is doing that is because it wants to protect you, right? Like when you're a kid Like, and you're just, you're free spirit. You're like, I'm going to be an astronaut. I'm going to be a doctor. I don't care. I'm just going to go do it. Right. And you go out and you can do some incredible things. But as we grow up, we develop things called limiting beliefs. We hang out with certain people. We get told things over and over again. Our parents teach us things. Our teachers teach us things. We don't have a lot of teachers that are like Tina, but if you did, that'd be great, Tina, if you could just be a teacher for the whole world. But there's a lot of people out there who plant limiting beliefs and things in us that gives us an out because we're like, well, maybe we're not good enough. Maybe we're not like them. Like, who? What do I have to share? And so when our brain does this, it's literally trying to keep us safe. So that is the first piece of the puzzle, is we have to understand why our brain does this. It does it because it loves you and it wants to keep you safe, but it doesn't want you to have the results that you want to have. Can you see what would happen in your life if you start giving other people, usually they're people we don't even know in terms of like, we haven't identified who those people are, right? Giving them the power to control your fate for your future, for you and for your family. I mean, that's kind of what we're doing, right? When we give power to people, whether it's people who are saying things or not saying things at all, and we're making it mean something about us, right? And so those are, that's why we want to tackle this. We want to tackle this because it's your natural programming, but you can actually help rewire this so that that isn't your natural programming, right? And in the beginning, it's still going to sting a little bit until you find the stories, the things that we're going to talk about today that will help you not only understand why your brain's doing that, processing it, and then finding a way on the other end to like reprogram it by tapping into a reason why, or even focusing on maybe the right people or a reason why you must do that thing. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So anything on that?
I was just thinking about like a lot of this stuff comes from our childhood, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's like, it's those limiting beliefs that get implanted, whether it's a repetition, right? We're constantly, maybe people were telling us like to not say certain things or behave a certain way, or it was like a traumatic experience or just this one experience that really kind of like, you know, made that switch in our brains. Mm-hmm. But I was just thinking about how, and it kind of relates to this dynamic too, about me being quiet in a sense, because I'm usually reserved, but I wasn't that way when I was a little kid. Mm. In fact, I was very outgoing. I'm an only child. I was like the life of the party, always doing things that, you know, I was carefree. I mean, I literally went on a stage once. It was an open stage, like at a beach. I remember this time when I was with my parents in, I think it was Miami, and there was a stage and there was like this nightclub in the distance and you can hear the music. And I just got up there and started dancing. And that's just the way I was. It was like, oh, well, there she goes again. Right. So always being outgoing. And then something happened where it was just maybe this gradual thing. I started school or something. And then I kind of became a little bit more reserved and I started to, you know, fear what other people would say. Right. Or what other people thought of me. So there was like this transition that happened with me. And I can't quite pinpoint when it happened, but that it's just kind of like an idea of how that can happen. Mm-hmm. Right. Whether, you know, you just are naturally outgoing and then something happens and then you start to care more about what other people think. So it was just kind of like a little tidbit of why I think I am kind of like that and why I would care so much about what other people would think or what I would think other people would think of me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that brings up so many valid like points that I was kind of thinking about. The first one is like in life, like we have a lot of opportunities that we're going to fail, right? Yeah. A lot of things are going to come up and we're going to fail. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's like super easy to take any of those failures to internalize it and go, well, then maybe I should not try again because I failed.
Yeah.
Right. And so like any mini thing, whether it's like, you know, you're out and you're, parents say something like, you know, stop being so loud, or you're always so loud, you're always so outgoing or whatever. We don't realize it, but sometimes if we say those things, we're actually diminishing them and getting them to start to care about what other people think, right?
Oh, like, yeah.
You cannot go outside, Mark, just with your underwear on, right? And it's like, oh my God, like I'm not supposed to do that. Like, I know I was 18, but no, like when I was little, like my mom has like pictures of me when I was just like carefree. It doesn't matter. Like you just go out with your Transformer underwear. I don't know. And by the way, why does my mom always show those? Like whenever anybody comes over, she's like, oh, you want to see? I'm like, why don't you show the ones where I have clothes on, Mom? Thank you so much. But it's like this thing where it is sort of like a protection mechanism where that starts to happen where like our parents want to protect us, right? They're like our head voice sometimes.
Yes.
They're like, yeah. I want to just protect you. And this also comes up a lot in like what other people think, right? Mm-hmm. Especially like significant others or parents and things like that, where they're like, I want to protect my son or daughter from potential failure. So maybe I won't tell them to move forward in this business. I won't ask them to do a webinar. I won't ask them to do, like, I'll be there to be like, no, it's okay. You don't have to do that, because they're trying to protect you because they love you. But in reality, they don't know that they're kind of holding you back, right? And this really is a beautiful place to kind of like go down, because remember that as we go, you guys are going to hear a lot of different ideas and strategies that we're going to share with you here today, but you need to find the one that works for you. And just because it works for you does not mean it's going to work for everyone else. Also to remember, like, everybody else is fueled by their own head stories, their own thoughts and their own beliefs. Because remember, they were a kid sometime too, and their parents taught it to them, who taught it to them, who taught it to them. So blaming people is not a good way. But instead of thinking of this of like, oh man, they must have had something that happened to them when they were growing up that actually caused this, and now they're trying to portray it on me. I don't want to have any piece of that. Even that could be a really powerful story, because we all have these struggles. We all have these things that are going on, and we sometimes accidentally pass them off to our kids. I know I talked to Teresa about this a lot. I'm like, hey, we literally teach about limiting beliefs, and I know I'm going to plant some, probably already planted plenty of them in my kids, and my kids are going to hate me for it when they get older. And they're like, Dad, why did you do that? For us, I think sometimes we're a little bit more of a helicopter parent. Like, kids can't go out by themselves or go out of the park by themselves. I'm like, I remember, like, we used to always allow people to do that. And these are just different things that we're going to like entrust into our kids, even though we don't love doing that, but it's just going to be a natural part of it. So instead of getting upset at this kind of stuff, just seeing it from a different perspective, we're like, oh, something must have happened to cause that, right?
Yeah. And, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. This mm-hmm. is just a process of undoing mm-hmm. things that have gone on for generations, I guess.
100%. Well, and I forgot Michelle was here, because she probably has some pictures of me like that too. How dare you, Michelle? You better not be sharing those, sister. Okay. Now I have a question for you guys. All right. And this is a question that I want to help get you guys started with this. And that is, like, what opportunity do you have? What do you think would your life would be like if you were able to build up the resistance and resilience against what other people thought about you? What kind of impact would that have when you're able to build up that resilience to not care what the wrong people think about you, to not like have to, you know, second guess yourself every single move, wondering like what other people are going to say, or even like when the haters come out, like what kind of impact is that going to have if you're able to solve that problem in advance? What kind of problem are you able to solve in advance? My sister's going to blackmail me, but some of those pictures, I know she is.
But you don't care what other people
do. I don't, but I kind of do. Okay, so what do you guys think? What is creating that resilience around other people and what their thoughts are about you? How is that going to help impact you moving forward? What is it going to make possible for you that's not possible right now when we nail this and you're not worried about what other people think anymore? Want to see some in the chat? It would bring more freedom to myself and less overthinking. I love it, Trisha. What else?
I think it would allow me to just do more of the things that make me happy,
mm-hmm.
right? Because sometimes we won't do things that like we enjoy
mm-hmm.
because sometimes we are afraid of what other people think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I think it, like Trisha said, like more freedom
yeah.
to just do what you want, but also be yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things that comes up for me as you say that too, is like, I always remind myself that when I show up a certain way, it indirectly gives other people permission to do the same thing. Mm. So when I get to show up like myself, when I get to be a dork, when I get to bring up all the things about the pictures of my kids, it releases the pressure from somebody else to try and be somebody else that they're not. Mm. And so I remind myself, like, me doing this and me not worrying about what other people think is going to help empower somebody else to have that same thought and feeling. And so I'm going to be able to empower them through my own actions. That's just something that always tends to work for me. Susie says, I can move forward in my business. Laura says, have confidence in what I do, no matter what others say. Message more people without overthinking. Yep. I would have more confidence. I'll be thinking less of the posts that I do and think more of the impact they will make and what I have to share. Yep. It would help me show up more as my authentic self in my business. Yeah, Tina, that's what I was talking about. More power with less negative distractions, 100%. It would create more intentionality and focus, 100%, because it's instead of having to worry about, like, think about this, how much brain power and space do you take up in that beautiful brain of yours worrying about what it's going to look like, what other people are going to say, what are they going to think? Mm-hmm. Like, how much extra space and energy? Like, in a world we're full of distractions and all of the things that we're out here, we've got a business, we've got kids, we've got family, we've got, you know, all of these different things. Like, we need an additional thing to, like, to, mm-hmm. like, tax our brain, right? Mm-hmm. And every second that we can take out of overthinking, out of caring, like, it gives us back that power to be able to go and do the things we want to do, right? The things that we want to, like, make an impact with. And so, like, that's what I'm always for. Whenever we can stop this thinking, this overthinking piece, like, we got to give people the tools to be able to do that. Cause think about what their lives would be like if they actually had some freedom from having these conversations and stuff every single time in their day. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Okay. So I want to start off with the first idea of, like, what other people think about you. Okay. So let's get into the training. So what other people think about you? So I want to see, has there been a time, how has what other people think about you affected you? Has there been a time, like, maybe that you can think of where the idea of what other people think has affected you, whether it's in business or anything outside? What do you think?
I think the biggest thing for me has, it's created self-doubt many mm-hmm. times, because you think, oh, well, am I making the wrong decision, or is this the right path? I can't think of a, like, specific example, but I think the overall theme is that it just creates more self-doubt in me.
Mm. It's kind of like one of those things where every single time that you say you're going to do something and you don't do it, it's like a checkbox in the lack of confidence mm-hmm. realm. And the more checkboxes you have there, mm-hmm. it's hard to outweigh that with doing things and being, like, uncomfortable and being courageous, because mm-hmm. the opposite is true too. When you are doing those things, you're checking the box of your self-confidence and you're building it up so you can actually continue to snowball that. Mm-hmm. So I like yeah. that. I like it. The next question was, have you ever changed a decision based on what someone else might think about you? How did it make you feel afterwards? So can I answer that one, or do you have one? So I used to do this a lot on social media. And that was, like, I was trying to be, really, it was just trying to be somebody that I really wasn't. And it was me just sharing, like, how everything was awesome and how everything was going great, when in reality, like, things weren't going so great. Because I think in my brain, I was like, well, people want to hear that my life is perfect and that everything's great and that the puppy isn't, like, pooping all over the place and the kids aren't doing this and this isn't happening. And so I was going on social media and only posting the good times, like the things that were, like, going on that I was like, oh, I can post about this because it's awesome. And I wasn't sharing the other times when I was struggling with the autoimmune, Crohn's disease, work, like all of these kind of things. Like when I really was struggling as a parent and as a spouse, like all of those things, like I wasn't talking about that because I'm like, well, I don't know, what are people going to think if I do this? Mm-hmm. And I would say that not only did it make me feel inauthentic when I was posting it, but it actually didn't connect with people. Mm-hmm. Because when you are that way and they think that you're, like, some superhuman and everything's perfect, like, their thoughts go to, like, well, I could never do that. I could never do what he's doing. I could never potentially, because they were seeing my highlight reel on social media and they weren't seeing, like, the real version of me, right? Mm-hmm. So that's really where I saw that this whole idea of, like, what other people are going to think, actually, I'm not the type of person who doesn't take action. I do take action, but I noticed that, like, I morph into someone different and then I take action, right? I'm not somebody who doesn't take action, even though there are some people out there who do that, right? They can convince themselves and they take no action. I actually take action, but I take it in authentic action. It's like unaligned action. Like, my energy is, like, a little different because I'm, like, tiptoeing around, oh, what are people going to think when I put this together? And I realize that I really minimize who I am. And, like, it doesn't feel like, I don't want to say it doesn't feel special, but it doesn't feel personalized because it's not coming from me. Mm-hmm. It's coming from this fictional character that I think I want to be on social media. And it doesn't connect with people because it's really not me. It's me trying to be someone else, right? I know Josh says this a lot, like, why would you be the second rate version of someone else when the best version of you is always available? And one of the things I think about is, as I'm, like, doing things on social media, I realize that, like, people come to me because of me. They don't come to me because I'm Josh. They don't come to me because I'm, like, John Maxwell. They don't come to me because I'm Brooke Castillo. Like, they would go to them. They come to me because of me and my stories and my struggles and the things that I'm going through. And if I'm not sharing that, like, how in the world are they going to be able to connect with me, right? And that's why, like, on our channel here at YouTube, like, you guys heard the values of the channel. I mean, Kurt put together that beautiful video that is like an intro that I'm going to play every single Inner Circle to remind us of, like, what is most important, right? And when I can use those as like, hey, these are the most important, and put my stake in the ground, there's going to be people who are on the naysayer side who don't believe that, but then there's going to be the people that do believe, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like when I change how I am, not only do I show up differently, but I don't really connect with people. So,
yeah. And I think the social media in particular is a tricky thing, mm-hmm. because most people just put the highlight reel, right? Mm-hmm. Because they think that if I think they try to convince themselves that they're trying to inspire people. So let's mm-hmm. say this is mostly like for business, right? You put it out there that you're doing really well, or, you know, let's say you're a health and fitness coach and you're like, I'm just going to put the times when I work out, when everything's great, when I'm eating healthy and things like that, because you feel like, well, I need to inspire people to implement these habits as well. Mm-hmm. But in reality, like you said, people don't really get to know you when everything is perfect. People don't connect with you if you're like this superhuman, mm-hmm. right? They connect with you when they know that you are vulnerable and you're human. You have human emotions. Things happen in your life. Even though you're always trying to, you know, make the best out of life, things just happen outside of our control. And sometimes when we do share that, we do connect with people in a different way. And because we're being our authentic selves, right? So it is kind of tricky with social media, but I do find that obviously we don't want to be complaining all the time, but mm-hmm. you know, we wouldn't be doing that because we're always trying to get better and we're growing. But yeah, we can get into that kind of weird cycle of just wanting to put like our best out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, one of the things that comes up as you're having that conversation is like sort of like an all or nothing like idea of like, I just need to post everything great or everything terrible and like not a beautiful place in the middle. Right. Mm-hmm. So whenever I share things that I'm struggling with or that I've struggled with, there's always like light at the end of the tunnel. I also don't want to be the Debbie Downer who's like, life sucks. This is terrible. Like the president sucks, and like just go on like a really rant, right? It doesn't help anybody. It only like demotivates more people, including myself, because I'm saying it, right? So even if I share something that is like a struggle, I share like what I'm doing about it, what I did about it, or what I'm trying to learn from it, that kind of piece. So it doesn't feel like it's like all or nothing, like it's only positive or only negative. It's yeah. like a mixture of like real life yeah. that's there, right? Mm-hmm. So, okay. So what are some of the strategies that we found in building resilience against what other people might think? So I have a bunch that are here. Anything in particular you want to start with, or you want me to start?
No,
good. Okay. So I have two things that I want to talk about. There's a couple different ideas that I want to share here, but these are things that will help you when it comes to navigating what other people think of you. Okay. So the first one is to find a group, a mentor, a coach, or somebody who can make you aware of the times when this happens that you don't even realize it's happening. Because a lot of times we don't realize that we're using what other people think to prevent us from taking action or from taking unaligned action or from like putting things out there that really aren't us, because we don't even realize that in the background, we have this thought of like, what are other people going to think if I put this or I say this or I do this? And having somebody to be able to show you like, hey, you're doing that thing again. That is so powerful, guys. And it's not something that most people are willing to do. Most people, significant others, they're just going to pretend like it didn't happen. But if you have somebody that you can actually help or can help you in the process, that's willing to say, hey, that's not real you. Like, how do you really feel? And they can actually ask you questions to be able to identify where this is, that this is happening. It is so powerful when you're able to do that. I mean, obviously you guys are here. Being able to type stuff in the comments and things like that is going to get us to be able to help you. But if you have friends, coworkers, family, a coach, a mentor, somebody who's willing to like call you out, just be willing to accept that. So really being able to not only put yourself in the environment, but actually accept when people give you that advice, just to see it from a position of like, this is like trying to teach me something, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the second piece that I'm going to talk about is, once you have like somebody or something in place, maybe you're even just from this conversation, because we're going to bring up some specific incidents that maybe happened with you guys recently that we can help coach you through. But being able to process it is the biggest piece. Okay. So sometimes when people say something or when we think what other people are going to say about it, like that's where we stop. But there's this part called processing it, like thinking about, what is this trying to teach me? Why is my brain trying to do this? You know, we kind of talked about it in the beginning, right? If you can process it going, oh, so this is why it's trying to get me to do this. I understand now. And I'm also going to take a different path. It's because you've decided to process it. What we don't want you to do is throw positivity on it. Okay. Just immediately go, oh, what are, like, somebody makes a post or something, or says something, and you're like, oh, they're just stupid. And then you just go to the, you know, to your, what's called your hard voice, and just jump in and go, I'm way better than they are. They just suck. That's the reason why they're like that. Because now you're just throwing positivity on it and you're not actually processing it. All right. Now we'll share a little bit about like how we help people process it in a minute, but it's not as simple as just saying, let me just be positive about this, right? Because that is not the solution. You got to figure out what is actually causing you to feel that way so that you can reframe it to something that would actually be helpful for you to be able to pull it out of your tool belt the next time it happens. Because if we don't learn the lesson, if we don't process it, every single time it happens, every single time you're put into that situation again, your brain is immediately going to go down that original path that actually caused you to be stuck. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And it's not about like, oh, I'm just not going to care what people think. Mm-hmm. Like, we are human. It's going to happen. But it's like you said, it's the reframe. Mm-hmm. It's how am I going to react to this? People are going to say things and we're going to think that people have these opinions of us, even if we don't ever hear them say it. Mm-hmm. However, it's not about just pretending it's not there or just being like, who cares? We do care, but it's just about what you do after that thought that matters.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, so here's, I'm going to give you like a quick idea of some thoughts, some stories that you can tell yourself and see which ones of these would help you out. Okay, so we already talked about the processing part, which is just asking yourself, why is my brain doing this? Why is it trying to confuse me? Why is it trying to get me to think about what other people are going to think? And really take some time to analyze that to go, oh, I understand. It's trying to keep me safe. I've never done this thing before. Of course it would be there to try and keep me safe. Oh, my mom might think this. No wonder why she would think this, because she's just trying to keep me safe. She just wants me to keep, you know, stay protected. Or somebody else like makes a comment or whatever. You're like, oh, they must have been through some traumatic stuff before, right? Like, of course they're going to want to say that because they think that that's what this thing is, right? But it's not, right? But it's okay. They can have their own opinion, right? You see how we can like take a second to process it rather than just flip it around, and processing it by getting down to like the root of it or getting through and using logic to go, oh, I wonder why that my brain is doing this, or I wonder why they're saying this. Now we have a deeper understanding, a different perspective that we can think about some different ways to reframe what that thought is that will get us to tap into taking action, right? A couple ideas when you're focused on struggling around what other people are going to think. Number one is, who are those people? Like, when you think about what are people going to think, I want you to think about, if I had to define that audience, who would they be? Reason why this is such a powerful one is because a lot of times we don't define that audience. Mm-hmm. We think like, what are people are going to think? I'm salesy. And I'm like, well, who's going to think you're salesy? And they're like, well, I don't know, just people. And it's like, we're literally allowing a fictitious group of people to control our lives, right? It's like, no, let's define it. All right. Yeah. Then when people define it, then I take it to the next level and I go, now I have a question. Are those the right people or are those not the right people? Because sometimes you're like, okay, I have a life coaching business. I'm going to help impact people's lives. I'm going to help them with their health and fitness or with their business. And then Aunt Susie comes on. By the way, if you have an Aunt Susie, I'm sorry. All right. This is not meant for an Aunt Susie.
I don't know why I always think of like a Susie, like Aunt Susie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's weird.
I don't know. Sorry, Susie. I think Susie's here too. So we're thinking, yeah, Susie's here. She's so we're like, oh man, what is Susie going to think of me selling life coaching in my business? And I'm like, is Susie a life coach? Does she have a business? No. Well, why does it matter what Susie thinks? Because she's not even the person you're trying to help. And it's like, oh my God, I didn't even realize either I'm not focusing on a person or you are Aunt Susie. Susie, you're the best Aunt Susie. I just want to turn that around, right? Or your brain is like, oh my God, what is Susie going to think? And you're like, wait, Susie isn't even the person I want to help. Susie maybe tried something in the past and maybe she failed. And she's like, I want to protect Mark so that he doesn't have to go through the struggles that I did. But I'm like, I'm ready to go through the struggles because I can come out on the other end because I'm willing to stick to it and adapt and learn from it. And maybe Susie wasn't. Maybe she went through some other traumatic things that were kind of like going on that she couldn't get through to get to the other side. But that doesn't have anything to do with me, right? It has anything to do with her, right? And so being able to like ask yourself, okay, who are these people that I care about? And when you identify them, like, are they the right people or are they the wrong people? Now, if they're the wrong people, then you can start thinking about like, okay, well, who are my right people? What would the right person think about this? What would the right person who's struggling right now with their business, struggling with their health, they can't play with their kids, they're exhausted all the time, they're, you know, going to lose years off their life because they haven't gotten their health and fitness under alignment. What do they think about me showing up today and showing them a way to go the opposite direction and actually have success? Because when I actually picture that person, for us here on this channel, the person's name is Aaron. I think about Aaron who's struggling with growing a business and also struggling with connecting with family because they're thinking, oh, I gotta, you know, put my family on the back burner and spend more time in my business to build it up. And they're trying to force it by taking on more actions. And instead of thinking of things better as a life coach, being able to ask questions and think about how can I achieve more without having to do more, right? Or how can I bring my family into this so they can make this more of like a family-based thing, right? So instead of being able to reframe that, they're struggling with that. And I'm like, if I came out and had this message for them, they would be like, Mark, thank you so much for this. This like has forever changed my life. I needed this in this moment because I didn't think it was possible. I was about to give up. And then I saw your message. When I think about that person that I do want to help, it just transforms my energy. It reminds me that there's somebody out there who does need my help, right? And that's how I use that to reframe me into, okay, this is what I need to do. I need to show up for that person. I need to show up as the real me and do whatever I can to help that person. Because there's a bunch of people who are going to be in the way, which might be Aunt Susie, might be like some people at my work, might be like whatever that thing is. But if I have to get through all those people so I can get to that person who really needs me, I'm willing to do it because that's what leaders do. And when you do that, you tap into a different energy and no longer are you worried about it. Even though in the moment before you start to reframe this, in the moment you start to get that feeling, you're like, wait, hold on a second. Mark and Teresa, we're talking about this. Why is my brain doing this? Who do I think that group of people is? And then once I define them, are they even the right group of people or are they the wrong group of people? And then you can tap into that. So this is that power of being able to like rewrite that story for you and find the story or the question in your mind that will get you to tap into not only the reason why you want to do this, but why you must, because that other person on the other side needs you to show up. I like to think about this a lot. And that is like, the person who connected me to life coaching, the person who connected me to health and fitness, the person who connected to me, if I would be super pissed off if they had convinced themselves not to reach out to me and have this conversation, because it's literally shaped my entire life. I no longer have to work as a police officer in the field, having to like take all of that madness that was out there, as well as like never having any days or nights or weekends or just weird schedule and having to go in during all the crazy things that are happening. I would not be able to be sitting here with my family doing something on a Saturday, then being able to go out and play some video games with my son. I wouldn't be able to do any of that. And if they had prevented themselves because they were so nervous about what other people would think, I think I would have punched them in the face. I actually could think of Jason right now because he was the one who originally connected me to like starting my own business, right? And it's like, I refuse to do that. I refuse to put like to close my mouth and not tell other people about what I can do to help them. Because if I never reached out, like their lives would never be changed, right? Maybe they would never find somebody who could help them and inspire them through this, who would connect with my story. And by doing that, it just taps into a different energy. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And it can be something just that happens in an instant. Because what if you would have been like, hey, I want to be a life coach. And I would have been like, well, why do you want to do that? Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. And then you could have made a different decision. You could have been like, oh, well, you know, mm-hmm. gone a different path.
Yep.
Right. So these things are happening all the time. And if we continue to let us drive our behavior that way mm-hmm. because of what other people think, it could be something completely different. It could change, like you said, change our lives. Right. Mm-hmm. But it's because we don't stop and think about what you just said. Mm-hmm. Like, why is my brain doing this? And does this person like, you know, does their opinion really matter? Right. Mm-hmm. So it's just about stopping and thinking about like what the next move is mm-hmm. and be okay with it. Right.
Yep. 100%. And I do want to ask you guys, because I know a lot of you guys have worked through this process before. what are some ways that you use to actually get through what other people think? So we gave you an idea of like a strategy, a kind of like a framework that I personally use to make sure that I can coach myself through it. But what are some things that you have personally done to help you overcome what other people think? Now, while you're typing that in the comments, I do want to bring up one thing, and that is like thinking about like where you would be right now if you hadn't given that power to other people is not helpful in any respect. Thinking about, oh man, I wish I had this training 10 years ago. Like my life would be so much different right now. That is focused on the things you cannot control. What happened before today, you cannot control. You can only control your relationship to it, meaning that you are going to make a decision to do something different. So even if this morning you woke up today and you were worried about what other people think, so you didn't post, that was this morning. Wave bye to it. Say, I'm going to learn the lesson and I'm going to implement this stuff moving forward. Being focused on what's broken, wrong, or missing will just create more of what's broken, wrong, or missing. And as a part of the inner circle, we refuse to allow you to use shame, guilt, or humiliation to get yourself to show up, because that is not a holistic way of having long-term success. That is forcing you to do things right now to push through when it's not going to be a long-term your version of success. You're going to stress yourself out in order to get there, and you're going to shame yourself into taking action. And that's not where we wanted to come from. We wanted to come from a place of compassion, of purpose, of love, of potential, of hope, of abundance. That kind of place is like, there's a place where you can get to where it would come from that. And it's different energy when you lead with that versus the kind of like, I'm going to force myself to do it. Does that make sense? I think I say that a lot. Does that make sense? But does that make sense?
Wait, are you concerned?
So I'm not concerned. Otherwise I wouldn't be bringing it up, right? So guys, I want to hear what has worked for you. What has worked for you? So Tricia says, I stay focused on the people I've helped and how I can change their lives. The other people are just not ready for me yet. Tricia, that's a beautiful story, right? That's a beautiful story. So let me pull this out for a second, because this is a beautiful one to tap into. And let me show you, let me explain why. So first, she focuses on the people she has helped. So she's using her past for her. Anytime you guys can use the past for you, please do. You've climbed some pretty freaking awesome mountains. And now because you're looking this way and you only see the mountains ahead, you forget that you climbed all these damn mountains behind you, and you've like literally learned everything you have from being able to climb those mountains. You get to bring that with you to the next mountain you take. So the first one is using your past for you. But the second thing is not shaming or guilting other people and saying, well, they suck, or will that. No, you're saying, well, they just aren't ready for me yet, because guess what? I wasn't ready for me yet. Go back 12 years ago before I started my business. I was not ready to have a conversation about my thoughts create my feelings, and my feelings create my actions, and my actions manifest what I'm thinking about. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm a police officer. Just leave me alone. All right. I have to deal with all this negativity and BS. And it's crazy. Like, I would not have been ready to have that conversation with any of you, but I had to learn and develop and have a lot of pain, by the way, in order to be able to experience the aha moments that I needed to get me to where I am. And you're going to run across clients that are like that too. So getting upset at them, being resentful towards them, being angry at your kids doesn't bring you anything but more disconnection. Instead, realizing that they're not ready yet, but you're going to be there when they are, right? And helping to guide them along the way is the best way you can, which is what? Modeling the behavior for them. You taking the actions you want to see in others. It's the best way that you can influence their actions, because you can't control them no matter what. No matter, especially if they're your kids, especially if they're your puppy, it doesn't matter. Like, you can't control them. I keep bringing up the puppy. I have some traumatic experiences with our new puppy, if you can't see. Okay. Next thing. Actually, Shelly says, I focus on the message I want to share with people. I keep reminding myself that I have something that I need to share with others. 100%, Shelly, 100%. Laura says, when my kids say that I should just get a real job 9 to 5, I think about how my dream to be my own boss, have my own business, isn't their vision, but mine. Yes, Laura. Laura, I also think like, this is one of the things that fueled me. I'll have to try it on for size. I also think about like, when I do this and when I create this vision and when I create this goal, what is it going to actually like show them as possible for themselves too? Because maybe sometimes like my lack of action or my lack of vision or my lack of leaning into my goals has literally shown them that they shouldn't lean into their goals either. What if instead I use my vision, my goals, and what I want to achieve to show them what's possible in their lives too? I don't know. That just makes me feel like I'm going to be unstoppable, because that's a story that I can tell myself that will get me to show up on an entirely different level. Because maybe they're living small, because maybe I'm living small, right? It's one of those things that if that's a vision that fuels you, tap into that story. It can really help. Okay. Now let's talk a little bit about like what actually people say or do. Okay. Now the first part of that was, what happens if like you're worried about what other people are going to think? What happens when people actually post and tell you, or your significant other says, I don't think you should do that. I don't know. Like, I don't think you should invest in that. I don't think you should do that business. I don't think you, like all of these family who are here there to protect us. So let's change gears a little bit. And we're going to crush this one and then we'll call it a day. All right. So question for you. Okay. And this is going to be your question. You ready? I want you to think about maybe a potential incident where you changed a decision based off of what, or you made a different decision based off of what other people actually said or actually did. Does anything come up to mind for you in terms of maybe a situation or something that came up where somebody's response or somebody's reaction changed what you did? And then also, how did that make you feel when you did change it?
So I think there's too many to actually, because I did care a lot about, and I still do to some extent, but I've gotten a lot better. But again, it's that self-doubt, right? Like, am I making the right decision? I think, and I don't know if this makes sense or actually answers the question, but I remember when I was, trying to figure out what I was going to do after high school. I was going into college and I was trying to figure out like what classes to take, what was my major, right? And I didn't really know what that was. And I just thought, oh, I'm just going to go into accounting. Could you imagine?
You in numbers?
Math is not my strong suit. But anyway, for some reason, I thought, well, I'm just going to go into accounting. And I remember my dad giving me some like advice. He's like, well, no, no, no. He had kind of like that entrepreneurial type mindset. And he's like, you need to go into business. You need to do business because that will give you a bit like a wider net. Mm-hmm. And I was like, but I don't want to do that. And I kept thinking about like, oh, but I don't want to go that route. Like, I don't know anything about business. I'm not really interested in that. But I actually did make the change. I made the decision to change my major from accounting to business, business administration, like economics, things like that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm not using that right now. So, I am kind of, but I kind of made that decision because I thought, well, my dad knows better than I do. And he probably sees like, you know, he's gone that path. And, you know, not that I probably would have taken his advice because like the behavior he was modeling wasn't like the best, but I think that was because, oh, well, it's my parent. I need to listen to my parents because I don't know any better. Mm-hmm. So again, it's that self-doubt, like, oh, I'm not smart enough to make the right decision. So I need to listen to, you know, my dad telling me that I need to go this route, not the other route. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. It does. As you were talking, I was kind of thinking about some things that maybe have come up for me too, where I feel like a lot of it has to do with like the people that you surround yourself with, right? We talk about this a lot. There's a reason why we have the Inner Circle and we have YouTube, right? Is because we want to make sure that we're in the room with people who have similar goals, values, a room where we feel like we fit in, where we're all trying to like achieve our next level of success, but without sacrificing our family time, that kind of stuff. And I just remember hanging out with a lot of people who are police officers. And so I was trying to build a business, right? And I'm on social media, I'm doing videos. At the time, it was only podcasts, actually not videos. But there were other things, right? And I just always remember being around them and them making fun of me, them saying like, what do you think you're doing? You're a life coach? Like, you're a police officer, you're a police sergeant. Like, what are you doing? And I remember that for a while, it actually did impact me because I was like, maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe like this is dumb. Maybe like, and because I was hearing it over and over and over and over again, I wasn't leaning into my business like as much as I wanted to, right? And I also wasn't leaning into like being the parent or the spouse that I wanted to. It was like I was going to, you know, fantasy football things. I was going to play poker and doing all that kind of stuff, right? And I didn't realize that it was because of the people that I surrounded myself with that they were saying things to. And it's funny because when you when you're in the police field, and this is probably a lot of fields, is like one of the things they do to show you that they care is that they make fun of you and they humiliate you and they try to make you feel guilty that you're not working hard enough and all this kind of stuff. It's like, I don't know, it's the camaraderie supposedly. And I'm like, well,
it's just a culture.
Yeah. It's just like the culture. Right. But it keeps a lot of people stuck because it's like, oh, this is the way that you have to do it. Right. I mean, I remember I still even shut down my Facebook account at one point because they were like, that's stupid. Like, why are you doing that? Like, people are going to find you and they're going to be able to come over to your house and they're going to be able to like, you know, do all this kind of stuff. I'm like, oh man, this is real. Right. So I had to close it and then I had to restart it again. And it was just like all of this, like, you know, hanging out with those people that was influencing me because of the words that they were saying. And going back and looking at it now, even looking at the past like framework that we used is like, are those even the right people? Are those the right people that I want to influence my life, my direction? People who are, you know, around that negativity all the time, people who didn't want to make their family a priority, who didn't want to make their spouse a priority, who didn't want to get out of the career like I did. And it's like, well, why was I being influenced by them? And it's because those are the people that are around the most, right? And they were the ones who were making fun of me. And I feel like by being in that environment, it's kind of like this mental toughness. It helped me develop mental toughness because now when I get comments and stuff online, I'm like, that's not a big deal because my friends used to say those same things and they would mean it, right? And it was like, it helped to build it up because when I had that in advance, then I could use that to strengthen me to see why, you know, they have all those thoughts because of their own pre-programming and all that kind of stuff and then release it. But then it made it easier for when I came into like the real world. I'll say the real world, but business world.
Yeah. And it's like, you have to kind of like put your reps in, right? Or like prove each time that what they're saying doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. And the more you do that, the less their opinions mm-hmm. and what they say matter, right? And then you just keep going. Mm-hmm. So, but you still have to actually do the thing that you're scared of doing, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're whatever they say. Mm-hmm. So
let's talk about some of the strategies. Some of the strategies are the same as we used first time, right? So you still want to like identify why your brain is getting you to do that, right? One of the things that I do in this one a little bit differently is actually think about the other person who's ever saying and doing that thing. And I see it from the perspective of they're not attacking me. I see it as like, what is it that they're going through or they've gone through that kind of like has created that experience for them? Because they have their own, we call it the push method, but they have their own internal belief system that was built from their family, from the people that they hung around, from the things that happened to them. Like, it just gives you a little bit of a different perspective of like, oh, to them, this does make total sense. Now I understand. And then you can tap back into that same resource that we were talking about. It's like, are they the right people? Are they the people that I want to model my life around, right? I actually ask myself this too, when it comes to business coaches. There's a lot of business coaches. Alex Hormozi is one of them. I do not want to model my life after him. Like, he's had a lot of success, but he doesn't have kids. He doesn't make that a priority. And the way that he communicates is using shame, guilt, or humiliation. And that's awesome for him. I'm not going to say anything bad about him. I'm just saying that's not my style. And so when I look up to someone, I ask myself, is that someone who is the right person for me to model my life after, right? And if that person is, then I'm willing to lean in to listen to what they're saying and take their advice. But if they're not, if they're like the people out there who are crushing their business, but their family life is like terrible, I'm like, I'm sorry. That's just not like in alignment with the right person that I want. And so I will literally think about that. Like, is this the right person that I want to be taking advice from? Is a 14-year-old kid who says that I have a big forehead, is he the one that I want to be taking advice from on social media who has like 2 followers, right? And it's like, well, probably not. I don't want to be taking his advice. I should probably be taking the advice of the people who I really believe in, the people who I really like want to aspire to be like, the people who, you know, fuel me, the people who like I can lean into. And instead, getting myself to see it from that perspective will help me when those situations come up. I still get that feeling. And then I go, wait, oh, they must have been through something really, really difficult today or something. And the truth is like, I don't really know. But if I'm going to put my brain on an idea, I don't want to put my brain on the idea of like why that thing is true. I want to put my brain on an idea of like, oh man, they must be going through a difficult situation. Remember making it about them, not about me. And when I make it about them, not in a negative way, but it's like, man, like they could probably really use some help right now, right? Sometimes I even respond. I actually responded to one yesterday. There was a comment and somebody was like, It was something about like how to connect with people on social media. Like John Maxwell says, before you, something about like, before you ask for a hand, you got to touch a heart. And he's like, oh, well, how can you do that on YouTube? Like, it's like not possible to do that on YouTube. And I'm like, that's a great question, because I was thinking like, oh man, he must be in like a tough spot right now where he's trying to connect with people. And like, there's some type of limiting belief around there. I'm like, that's a great question. But what you can do is you can do some community polls and ask them what they're struggling with. And based off of what they're struggling with, you can create content around that, because now you're asking them for what they're struggling with. You're touching their heart, saying, I'm going to create this content just for you, because you're the person who like, I really want to help. And like, I made a post about that, and it could have very easily been that I just deleted it. But I was like, no, this person's probably like struggling right now. They're trying to build a YouTube, you're trying to help people, and they're wondering, how can you actually, you know, touch a heart before you ask for a hand? Meaning you got to help someone before you ask them to buy into your program, right? And I was thinking, oh, I'm going to give him some ideas. And I just went in there to give him some ideas. Now, another thing, another piece of this whole puzzle is like, even when people like leave comments, we don't know what they meant or what the idea was behind it. It could have been that the guy was like, no, Mark, I really do want to know. Or he could be like, dude, get out of my newsfeed. You're dumb. This is stupid, right? We don't know. It's just a comment. It's like a text message. You don't really know. You read into it, right? And you don't even know what that person is saying. That's why I like voice memo so much better, right? Because now you really know what the person is. But we usually will go to like the far extreme of like, oh my gosh, this person's like calling me out, when in reality they were just asking a question.
Yeah, we can misinterpret things with text. And I think that just by default, we could be like, oh, well, maybe they, like you said, maybe he needs some help. Let me explain this a little bit. And just going in that route first. And then if he comes back and is like, no, I don't care or whatever, then that's fine. But we don't know what people mean, and we can't take that to heart, right?
100%. 100%. So I do want to ask you one question as we're winding up here, because I think it was something that we talked about yesterday when we were at the coffee shop, and we were talking about what happens when somebody does say something, and there's somebody that you actually do believe in and that you really do like, you feel like they are the right person, but they say something that kind of like tugs you a little bit. Like, how can we use that not as a way to shoot ourselves down, but use advice or direction or like feedback from somebody who is that right person, right? How can we use that to help us moving forward?
I don't remember what I said at the coffee shop.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful.
Really? Oh no, I don't remember. But if I were to answer it today for the first time, it would just be, I think, because communication is key, right? And I think that I would want to understand where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. Like, be like, okay, well, this is how that made me feel, right? What did you really mean by that? Because this like can affect me in a way, right? Mm-hmm. So if you do have that communication with that person and you do feel comfortable saying that, I would want to kind of put the ball in their court again and be like, okay, well, this is how it made me feel. What did you really mean? Mm-hmm. So that we can have this conversation, because, you know, I saw it this way, but I could be totally wrong, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that, what did I say, Bill? For real.
I really like that too, because, what I found is that we have a lot of life coaches who follow us, right? And we are great communicators and we're great question askers, right? Mm-hmm. So that is our skill. Most people suck at it. When they're trying to communicate something, it sometimes comes out not the way they want to, because they're not a professional communicator like most of you guys are. I feel like to own a business, we have to get really good at communicating, not only in social media, but also to our clients and customers and our kids and all that kind of stuff. And the more clear we can get, the better, right? So you're like following it up with like, hey, you know, you said these things and I want to find out like what part of that, like, you know, I can use to continue to grow, right? Because even if you're like, I want to get better, and this person is maybe finding a piece of that where they could help me get better, right? So I'm curious to just ask them some questions like, what did you mean by that? Like, what do you think I could do differently next time? Knowing that I ultimately have the say in whether or not I do that, but even asking them some questions about like where that came from, you might find out that like something that happened in their past, they're bringing up in this situation. They're like, when I did this, this is what happened. And then you get to make a decision now because you have more information. Do I want to go that way or do I not want to go that way? There's times when like even Josh, he'll give me some advice and most of the time I take it, but sometimes I don't. I'm like, that just doesn't align with me and who I am, right? And it's one of those things where even if it's the right person, does not mean you have to listen to every single thing. They have their own stories that are going on in the background, but you can use it to actually help you become better as long as you don't use that like against you, right? Because if you're using it against you, there's really no positive around that, right? So I think asking more questions and getting more curious, that is kind of the what we were talking about at the coffee shop, is being able to like separate like the thoughts around like people who are the right people giving you feedback instead of using it like as a personal attack, using it as a way for you to get better. Now, this is the one thing that we did talk about too. And that is like, if you're the type of person where you struggle with taking that kind of feedback, yes, there's a process to learn how to you know, take that feedback and move forward. But also like if you need to, like, let's just eliminate that for right now, right? You have to eliminate the idea of like really taking what everybody's, you know, comments and ideas and stuff are at the same time. Cause have you ever had that where like seven people give you different ideas at the same time and they're all people that you love and you're like, oh my God, this is too much. And you don't have to take them all at once, right? You can just say, I'm just going to like think about this one person and that's it. Like the rest of them, maybe later I'll think about, but like, I don't have to go back and implement every single one of these because that would create like overwhelm, right? So taking a little bit more control over that will help you so that you can move forward without feeling like you have to implement what everybody else says. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now guys, we did talk a little bit about like some of the ideas and strategies that you guys have, and I definitely love them, but I am curious, based off of some of the situations that you've personally been through recently, maybe something where it's like, you know, caring about what other people think, or somebody specifically does say something on your social media. We want to see if we can help you guys through some of those situations right now. Have you had anything recently where you have kind of felt the tug of like, I don't want to do this, or I don't want to take this action because of what other people are going to think? If you can give us a little idea of like what that is, we'll be able to help you here. Or if you've gotten some responses from someone, and some of those responses have gotten you to feel like, ah, like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to move forward. Like, these people are saying this thing and maybe a part of it's true, right? By the way, every single thing I always think to myself, I'm like, okay, a part of this is true and a part of it's not true. I mean, that's just kind of like where I go. And I'm like, you know what? It does give me an opportunity to grow. But in reality, it's also not like I can completely throw out everything and say nothing isn't true, right? A part of this might be a little bit true and I could use that if I want to, but if not, like, it's my decision. I can move forward with it, right? So I am curious, like, if you have any situations that you've been struggling with, whether it's either of those two things, type it in the chat for us right here and we'll be able to help guide you through it.
There was a comment here I wanted to point out from Susie. A few years ago, my daughter said I shouldn't post on social media because I was old and just didn't understand how it works. Mm. I believed that for a while, but eventually I started posting. So I want to know, like, what got you to move past that?
Look at the next one, what she said. Oh.
Okay. Maybe I should have read that, huh? So I learned that you can't actually die from embarrassment, but you can learn from it. Yeah. And I think that brings up maybe something that we didn't explicitly say is we're trying to avoid a feeling, right? When we care about what other people think, we don't do the thing because we're afraid of how it's going to feel if we do it. Right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's embarrassment or disappointment, we feel like we're going to disappoint that other person. So that really, really, like, it comes obviously from the story that we have in our head. That's what comes afterwards, like that feeling. But that is really like all it is. Like, mm-hmm. The worst thing that can happen is a feeling. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. I mean, so many of us do buffering because of a feeling, right? We don't want to feel this way. When we put on our first webinar, when we make that post, when we put out that reel, when we're a certain age and we post on social media, right? But like Susie says, it's all about like learning from that and knowing that you're not going to die from the embarrassment, right? And when you think about it, the fact that you did that and now that you got past it and now you're posting and you're helping people, that is actually a story that you get to tell and you get to share from this perspective of like, guys, look what I did. And that actually makes it possible for everybody else to go, hey, I'm capable of doing that. Okay. So we don't have anybody who typed anything. So let me ask you guys one final question. And that is like, how do you plan on building your resilience around what other people think, say, or do? Guys, it's beautiful to come here to listen to us for like, what, an hour and 10 minutes now, but that is not going to change your life. Thinking about this is not going to change your life. Instead, implementing it, putting it on your action plan, and then figuring out what are the actions that I'm going to take that's going to help me build this resilience around other people think, that is where success is. Not about thinking about doing, it's about doing, right? So what are you going to do moving forward to be able to develop that resilience as you go? Want to hear that in the chat. I want to hold you accountable to it because that is the most important piece of all. It's not just the knowledge, it's taking it and creating action with it. And that's called wisdom, my friends. All right. Do you want to pull a card while we wait for people to see? We do want to hear, guys, what are you guys going to do with the information and the knowledge that we passed on today? And then, of course, don't forget to sign up for that Zoom where I get to join your sales team for a day. So Trisha says, I can't say that I have posted anything, but I have not commented on a post because it might not be taken well by others. So Trisha, give me a plan. What are you going to do moving forward to get yourself to post and to help people because of the fear of, you know, thinking about what others are going to say or do? What is something that you're going to be able to do in order to make that happen? Laura says, reminding myself of the people I want to help. 100%, Laura. I love that. Sometimes even picturing a person in your life who might need help, whether it's a fictitious person or even a real person. I love when it's actually a real person, helps remind us. Sometimes it's even ourselves, right? It's the old version of us. Like if I were to have a conversation with myself, what would be the difference in my life if I could just, you know, 15 years ago, go back to old Mark and say, hey, I need to give you some advice, right? Sometimes even doing that is really, really helpful. Shelly says, not overthink when it comes to my offerings and programs and offering them to others. I love that, Shelly. I want to hear what is the story that you can tell yourself to actually get yourself to not overthink the programs and offerings that you have. Like, what is a good heart voice? I know you're our life coach. What is a great heart voice that you can tell yourself and maybe an affirmation that you can read to yourself to remind yourself of who you're really helping and who you're really fighting for? Trisha says, remind myself of my heart voice. I have and know that they need help and sunshine. I have to give them. It's not about the ones that don't get it. 100%, Trisha. I know we talk about this all the time. You're like the walking heart voice, right? And being that person, like there's a reason why that is your strength. When you tap into that strength, it's one of those things that people will naturally be attracted to and repelled by. And you want both of those. Susie says, I'm going to keep doing because in doing, I actually learn. I want to start either a paid Facebook group or a webinar to pitch private coaching. 100%, Susie. I love that. I love that. And I love that thought of like, I'm going to keep doing because in doing, I actually learn. That's actually a thought, a story that you can tell yourself to get yourself to take action. I love it. All right. Today's question of the day, by the way, for anybody who doesn't know this, every single live stream at the end, we pull one of these cards. This is from the Best Self Co. We have another one.
Yeah, we haven't told people. Like, actually, I think somebody asked last.
Yeah, there's another one that we have that's 150 prompts. It's called Tales, but this one is the Best Self Co. There's like a book.
For kids, bigger conversations with children.
Little talk.
Yeah, if you go to Amazon, both of these are on Amazon. Best Self Co. Little Talk is this one. It's great conversations with children. And then this one is Tales. It's like life story interview kit. It's a tool for capturing your memories. This is for kids that are a little bit older. This is like teenagers that you want to get uncomfortable.
And we do this with our kids at dinner time.
Yeah.
And tell them what happened with Alyssa and her friend.
Which one? Oh, yeah. So what's funny is like we have these questions and we ask them and we want to challenge you guys to ask them at your dinner table with your family or whatever. Because a lot of parents, I guess, don't do this. So I think my daughter was having a conversation with one of her friends, and talked about like a question that I asked one of those nights. And the daughter was like, what? Your dad asks you questions? And she's like, yeah, he asks me questions all the time. Every time at dinner, she's like, oh, really? Because I guess people don't do that. But like being able to ask questions. Yeah. Being able to ask questions like is a really powerful thing, especially when you're getting to know your kids, because you don't know everything. Trust me, that happens at school. All right. What happens at school stays at school until you ask them a great question. All right. All right. This one is, what's your best habit? What's your best habit? Actually, I'm going to keep this one out. I'm going to ask my kids today what their best habit is. What do you think? What is your best habit? You love asking this question. You love being asked questions like this on the spot.
I don't know what my best habit is.
Mm. So I would probably say for me, one of my best habits is waking up early in the morning, because I get ahead of so many different things that I can get stuff done before the kids wake up that they really don't even have to know that I work as much as I do, because mm-hmm. I do that in the morning time before they even get up. And I feel like the rest of the day, it's kind of like gravy, you know, after the kids actually get up. One of the things I do want to call out is, I'm going to call my son out on this for what's your best habit. So Andrew, for the last 8 days? Since his birthday?
2 weeks.
So for 2 weeks, Andrew has been waking up at 5 a.m. every day to work out with mom and dad. So like super proud of him. He's been waking up at 5. He's super excited about like getting into better shape. He wants to be able to run the mile faster. He's
improving his time.
Big time, big time, big time. But he wants to he wants to build mental toughness. He wants to build like really good habits. And so he's been getting up at 5 a.m. He's 15.
Even when he has PE that day.
Even when he has PE. And like, that's one of the things where I'm like, oh man, I'm like super proud of you, buddy, for being able to come in. He's like a zombie in the morning time. And he's trying to like do some of these things and his form is all off, and we have to slow down sometimes to be able to get him back on. But like, I'm super proud of him. So I'm sure that's what he's going to say in terms of his habit. But guys, don't forget that your kids are watching everything that you do. When you don't let people dictate what you do or don't do because of what they think of you or what they say, when you're taking the actions that you want to see in them, they're watching. They're watching you all the time. I mean, it took him how many years before he decided he wanted to start waking up with us and doing this? We've been doing this for a long time. It was worth every single second to be able to see him in there, to connect with him in there, and then just like think about like, what would my life look like if at 15 I started exercising and working out instead of 31 or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. It's just a game changer when you're able to pass that on. So, all right, guys, appreciate you for being here. Thank you very much for participating. Appreciate you guys so much. And I definitely look forward to next week. Actually, what are we talking about? Next week, we're going to be talking about, in 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about the whole idea related to me being on the sales team. Next week, we're talking about how to stop making business so hard. We got a good one next week too, guys. This is for all of you too, but you guys are always welcome for every single one. We're going to talk about how to stop making business so hard, because a lot of times we actually make business harder than it needs to be. And we're going to show you how to stop making it so hard. So appreciate you guys so much. You guys have an incredible weekend with your family, and we'll see you guys real soon. All right. Keep leading for the front, and see you guys on the next live stream. Bye, everybody.
Bye.